is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, my Father God. How sweet the sound. You saved us, Father, even while we were yet in our sins. You hung, bled, and you died, Father. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us from everything that we need deliverance from. And thank you for all for providing for us, for you are our source and our sustainer, Father. Hallelujah. And you have done things, Father, that our eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard, nor has it entered into our hearts, all the great and mighty things that you've already done for us, Father. And Lord, my prayer is that you enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you fill us with the knowledge of your will and your intent and your plan and your purpose, and all that you have done for us, Father, so that we can begin to come out of religion into our relationship with you, our personal relationship with you, so that we might know you, Father God, and Jesus Christ, who you sent, and the power that's available to us through his resurrection, my Father. Fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we can know what is the hope of our calling, and once again, exceeding greatness of the power that has been made available to us, so that we might begin to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Walking in our spiritual authority, Father, ruling and reigning in life the way you desired and created and intended for us to do, my Father God. So, Lord God, here's our cup. We come boldly to your presence, boldly to your throne of grace, through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, through this radio broadcast, through our church services, our meetings, everything that we put on, our service toward you, through all of that, all the way behind the veil, hallelujah, that indicates that we can come boldly into your very presence, Father, and obtain mercy and find grace to help us every time we need it. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters, Lord, who have suffered loss in their lives and their families, my Father God. And I just ask that you would wrap your arms around them, Father, and shower them with your love, Father, and with your comfort and with your peace, Father, enabling them, Father, to know, Lord God, that no matter what we might go through in life, Father, that because we are in you, then everything is all right, my Father. Even our greatest enemy, Father, which is death, Lord God. Help us to know, Lord, that in death there's victory, my Father. For or to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Comfort us, Father, and comfort those, Father, who have suffered loss in these trying times, that we are facing crisis, and let them know that it is just only an opportunity for us to rise up above and walk in our spiritual authority. For Lord, make known to them the answer to death, and that answer is eternal life. Let them know, Father, in revelation knowledge, Lord, that death has been swallowed up, Father, by life, that there is no death to the children of the Most High God, Father. For you have given us life that more abundantly and life everlasting. For the penalty for sin is death, physical death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the eternal life that you've given us as a gift, Father, has swallowed up physical death in every area that death has a part to play in. Spiritual death, emotional death, every death. You've given us victory, my Father, in through the everlasting life that's in your Son. You said he who has the Son has life, my Father God. And we thank you, God, for the everlasting life that you have given us, God. Now comfort, Lord, my brothers and my sisters, Father, in those words, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as in always, Father, we are careful to make sure that we give you all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the credit. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Listen, I was meditating in that, and God spoke stuff into my heart concerning that. Because like I always tell you, I always like to acknowledge who you really are. Even if you don't know that, you know, that don't nullify the eternal truth that you are mighty people of the Most High God. And then God was sharing something with me here recently over the last few days. He said, listen, let my people know that they are super men and super women. I'm going to say that again. Not only are you a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God, but you are a superman and you are a superwoman of the Most High God. Remember that the TV program I used to come on, Superman? Holy God, you know, hallelujah. God told me to let you know that you are super children of the Most High God. Not just mighty children, that's powerful in itself right there, but you are super mighty. You are a superman and a superwoman. But why are we not operating that and living like that? And because of a lack of knowledge. Because you don't know the power that has been made available to you through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that. In fact, we just came through a resurrection season, you know, a month ago, celebrating the death and resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know what it is. Some people call it Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter, you know. But then we need to know not only what it is, but why it is. You know that we pray this all the time, that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we could know what is the hope of our calling, the exceeding greatness of the power that's been made available to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. That you might know the power that has been made available to us through death, so that you might know why he hung, bled, and died. And he didn't just hang, bled, and die to redeem your life from destruction. That's a part of it. But he hung, bled, and died so that you could have restored back to you who you really are, where you really come from, why you really here, what are your true potentials, what you really can do, and where you're really going to end up at. Listen, you're going to end up in the presence of the Most High God. You're going to end up in heaven, but you're going to end up in heaven on earth. So a lot of people, a lot of believers don't understand that, don't know that, man, and don't have the revelation of that, you know. So, man, they have the wrong concepts, you know. They have the wrong pictured ideas. Like what? Like they're going to spend eternity in heaven, where God is, the unseen realm. That's not your final destination. You're going to spend eternity in heaven, but you're going to spend eternity in heaven on earth. You're going to go to heaven, but one day, man, we're coming back to the earth. And it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, a new atmosphere and a new earth. And it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. But that was God's original intent and plan and purpose for the creation of earth and putting you and I on it. Why? So that we might reign in life. So that we might rule in life. He on earth. He gave us dominion over the earth and everything that comes from the earth, the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth. And you need to hear that and hear that and hear that and hear that, right? So that you can have faith in that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth. So God blessed them and told us how to have dominion over all the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue this earth. He gave us then the blueprint on how to do that. Be productive. Be productive in what? In everything that I created you to be productive in. Be productive in being a mighty man and a mighty woman of God. Be productive in being a superman and a superwoman. Be productive, man, in living life and that more abundantly. Be productive, man, in living everlasting life. Be productive in knowing, man, that death don't have no sting and the grave don't have no victory. Be productive, man, in knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Be productive, man, in operating in your supernatural, man, you know, life that God has given us, that has been restored back to us. Be productive, man, in reigning in life. Be productive in everything that pertains to life and godliness. Be productive, hallelujah. Win in life over everything, every circumstance. Why? Because you're not the victim. You're the victor. You win in Christ. Everything that's attached to him wins. Whether you win in this life here on earth, in your physical life on this earth, or 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years that you might live here on the earth, whether you accommodate or not, you still win. Why? Because, man, I'm telling you, boy, God's purpose and God's plan for your life is going to prevail. You might not understand that. You might hear the scriptures and heard the scriptures, but you got to get understanding, too. That's why I say get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding. Why? Because nothing is really yours, and you can walk in the reality of it until you understand it, until you receive it. That's why there's a going on in God. That's why, boy, there's a time in our life, man, where we just not, man, be preoccupied with our salvation, but that we go on to receive the end of our salvation, which is the salvation of our soul, so that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind, you know, in our heart. In most places where you see the word heart at in the Bible, it's talking about in your mind, in your thinking, the way you perceive things, the way you see things. Why? Because as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So you got to learn to think the thoughts of God. You got to grow up in the kingdom of God. You got to go on in the kingdom of God. You got to go from your next to your next to your next to your next. Why? Because there's a going on in God, man. It ain't just, man, salvation is just the beginning. Salvation of your life is just like in the natural, when a baby is born, that ain't the end of his life. That's the beginning of his life. Same thing when you get saved. Man, you got to go on to receive the end of your salvation. Well, when you get saved, you just been born again. You're like a newborn baby, but you're a newborn spiritual baby. You don't know how to walk like God wants you to walk, talk like God wants you to talk, live like God wants you to live, feed yourself, clean yourself. No, you got to grow up into the things of God. You got to go from your next to your next to your next. You got to go from being a baby to a toddler to a child, you know, to a teenager, to an adult, man. And as you get into your adulthood, you continue to develop and grow. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God and in your life and in your relationship with God. You got to grow. Don't stay little bitty baby. How you grow? You first desire the sincere milk of the word. You can't, most time, man, we feed, the reason why the church ain't growing and the church is choking on the word of God, because, man, we try to give babies meat. You can't give a little bitty baby meat. That's why I say desire. When you get born again, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you can grow thereby. Then when you get a little meat, now milk, man, then you get a little older, you take parable, then baby food, and then baby food to little chewed up food by your mama, and then from there, man, to a stronger food, and from there to stronger food. That's all a process. It's the same way it is in the kingdom of God and in your relationship with God. It's a process. It's a going on from babyhood, man, to adulthood. Why? Because a little bitty child, an heir of God, as long as he's a little bitty baby and a little bitty child, is no different than a servant, even though he owns everything. But he got to grow up. So he's under governor and tutor until the appointed time. What appointed time? Until you're able, man, to handle that, until you're able to handle your inheritance. So God give us gifts. What? You say you're on the governing tutor? Yeah, he give us gifts. What? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, brothers and sisters, parents in the Lord. What? To edify us, to build us up, to strengthen us, so that we can grow in the relationship with God, so that we can grow entire, wanting nothing. Listen, a lot of things that we pray and ask God for, you can listen, hear this. A lot of things that we pray and ask God for, God has already done it. We pray and ask God, Lord, to heal us. God has already did it. We pray and ask God to save our loved ones. He's already done it. We pray and ask God, you know, for financial blessings. He's already, man, supplied all our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. What we got to do is learn how to appropriate what he's already done into our lives by growing up in it. How you grow up in it, man? By growing up, man, and coming to the place where we start, man, decreeing and declaring, man, what God has already done. Instead of going to God with our prayer list, we got to go to God, man, with an empty list and ask God, man, what can I do for you? What have you already done for me? Seek, in the Bible says it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His way of putting you in right standards with him. His way of saving you. His way of delivering you. His way of providing for you. His way, man, of being a very present help in your time of need. And if you seek it, you'll find it. You know why a lot of people haven't found it yet? Because they haven't been seeking it. You know why they haven't been seeking it? Because they haven't been taught and came to the knowledge that you got to seek it. You got to go after it. You got to pursue it. You got to place it in your possession. You got to study to show yourself approved. You got to hear the word of God. I'm not talking about, listen, we spend more time on Facebook and social media and Instagram and all these other, man, media platforms that's out there, man, and you spend, man, little time with the word. You spend little time fellowshipping with God, but we fellowship, man, with social media all the time. Well, boy, if you flip that script and spend that same time that you're fellowshipping with social media and on social media into, man, growing in the knowledge of God's will for your life, you, man, become who you already are. What? That superman and that superwoman. That mighty man and that mighty woman of the Most High God. That little G God that you are. That king and queen that you are. That ruler that you already are. That ambassador and representative of God, Christ, and the kingdom of heaven that you already are. Instead of just being a member of a church, man, you'll become a citizen of the kingdom. Instead of just, man, just becoming an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, a teacher, man, you'll become an ambassador of Christ. Instead of becoming, man, you know, a Baptist or a Methodist or Church of God in Christ, you'll become, man, sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's not right to be all those things. And let me say something, too, while I'm right here, because I think I may have been misunderstood in time past. People may have heard me say this and misunderstood what I say. Whenever I talk, I say anything that seems to come off negative when I say the Baptist or the Methodist or the Church of God of Christ or this denomination or that denomination. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about, man, the Baptist religion. I'm talking about, man, the Church of God in Christ religion. I'm talking about the Catholic religion. Not the people. I'm talking about the Methodist religion. Not the people. The people are the children of the Most High God. We are the children of the Most High God. But if we're not careful, man, we'll allow the religion of these different denominations, man, to keep us in bondage, man, to come into the knowledge, man, of what this thing is really all about. It's not about a religion. Now, religion is in the Bible, but that's not what the Bible is about. The Bible is about a king. And his kingdom, and his royal family, and the extension of his kingdom of heaven to his royal family here on the earth. It's about the loss of that kingdom in Genesis chapter 3. And in Matthew, it is about the regain of that kingdom and the restoration, man, of everything that man lost in the fall. See, we're not careful. You get preoccupied, man, with the means and forfeit the end. Listen, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's a means. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a means. What you mean? A means to an end. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a means to an end. What? So that you can have restored back to you everything that you lost, man, in the written in our forefather Adam's disobedience. You lost sovereignty. That's complete rule. Over what? Over all the earth, over all the circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life here on the earth, over death. You lost, man, the Holy Spirit. That's, man, God living on the inside of you. You lost, man, you know, the kingdom of heaven on earth, the Garden of Eden. You were put out of that place. You lost all of that. So the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a means to all of that you lost to be restored back to you. And here's the gospel about it. All that we lost in Adam has been restored back to us over 2,000 years ago. But, man, it's been buried in the graveyard of religion. That's why I say, man, when I say something, man, about the Baptist people or the Church of God in Christ, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the religion, man, of those denominations. What's religion? Religion, man, is a search for something. A search for what? A search for a utopia, a better world, a better relationship with God, a better democracy, a better life, you know. When God say, hey, listen, if you search for something, that means you hadn't found it yet. And that's what religion is. When you are in search of God's will for your life, his perfect will for your life, and trying to find that. But boy, when you discover, boy, the good news about the kingdom of God, then your search is over with. You'll come out of religion and searching to a relationship where you have found what you're looking for. When you find what you're looking for, man, you don't have to search no more. What you're looking for, everybody looking for, man, a utopia, a better world, a better life, a better governance system. Better, man, you better than what is. Well, listen, that's only in one place, man. That's in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. That's the utopia. That's the perfect. That's the only perfect world, the kingdom of heaven. And here's the good news, boy. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring back to us. That was his ultimate goal, to return the kingdom of heaven back to the earth, dive on the cross to cleanse you up from all your unrighteousness so that you can enter back into it. So that the Holy Spirit can enter back into you, so that you can come back into the Garden of Eden once again and begin to live your life from that place, the original place that God put you in and told you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth in. From that place, the Bible says God established more a garden in east of Eden called the Garden of Eden, and there he placed a man. What's the Garden of Eden in simple terms? That's the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's a spot on the earth where the governing influence of God is established. Where the kingdom, all the attributes of the kingdom of heaven, the lifestyle, the environment, the atmosphere of the heaven, the invisible realm, is established, boy, on a seen realm called the earth, on a spot on the earth. And there he placed the man, where in heaven on earth, and started him off on his course toward God's destination and plan and purpose for his life. Well, that boy, through the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of him, through the communion and fellowship with the Most High God, through that divine connection, man, of God and man and heaven and earth, that we, through the power of the Holy Ghost, using the word of God, may man make earth a colony of heaven. For what purpose? So that it would answer the prayer that you've been praying all your life. What? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's God's original intent and desire and plan and purpose for our lives. This is written intending to die and pray for our life, not to get us and bring us to heaven to live with him forever. And that was the case. He just left us up there. He brought us down to the earth and gave us our own dominion, gave us our own territory. The heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to you and I. The earth is our domain. The earth is our territory. And our responsibility and mandate is to make it in our territory just like it is in the territory that we come from. To make it in our territory just like it is in heaven. That's your mandate. That's your assignment. Not just to have good church and put on good programs and preach good messages and stir folks' emotions and all that. That's all incorporated in it. But, man, all that's a means to an end. What? To get you back to your original mandate, your original plan, and God's original plan, God's original purpose for your life. That's why he gave you supernatural ability and supernatural power. You can't do that in and of yourself. You need men the power of God to do that. That's why Ephesians say, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will with all spiritual understanding. That's why it also say, thanks be unto God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That word has that in King James Version, H-A-T-H, that's an old English word. That means, man, he's already done it. I told you, man, we're praying for God to do things that he's already done instead of learning how to appropriate what he's already done into our lives. How you learn how to appropriate what he's already done into our lives? When you seek first, when you get your priorities in line. Here's the number, the two most important priorities in every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl's life. What? Is to seek the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. Not just what my church is doing, my denomination is doing, my religion is doing, mankind is doing, Trump is doing, politics are doing, athletes are doing, rich folks are doing, you know. Hey, listen, you can seek that, man, but, man, don't let that be your number one priority. That's your number one priority is to seek man first and find out, man, what God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing. And then seek to stay in right standing with that governing system. His righteousness. And if you seek those things, you know what the next verse say in that scripture? Everything. What's everything? That's everything that you have need of will be added unto us on a daily basis. So you won't have to seek man healing. You won't have to seek man prosperity. You won't have to worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, how you're going to make it, and all these things. Why? Because your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. That's why I say, so if you seek first, boy, his way of supplying all that, his governing influence, the way he do things, man, and if you seek it, you'll find it. The reason why most people haven't found that utopia, that better world, because they ain't seeking it. You do the math yourself. Are you seeking man first, number one priority in your life, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and man, how to stay in right standing with that governing influence and system in your life here on earth? I'm talking about first and second. No, you're seeking, man, other things. And you might be seeking the kingdom of heaven, but that might not be, man, your number one priority. I'm talking about your number one priority and your number two priority. Because if you do that and everything else that you have need of, whether it's finances, whether it's healing, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it is, everything, all that will be added unto you on a daily basis. As you grow into the knowledge, man, that everything that you're seeking for has already been provided for you. Where is it at, Arthur? It's in that utopia. What's a utopia? A better world, a perfect world. Where is that utopia? Where is that perfect world? The kingdom of heaven. That's the only perfect world, man, that there is. That's the only perfect utopia that there is. And here's the good news about it. Colossians say, man, thanks be unto God who has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, this old world that we live in here now that's not perfect, that we're living in here trying to find a perfect utopia. Thanks be unto God who has already translated us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. How come we not operating in that? Because you don't know it. Why you don't know it? Because perhaps that ain't been preached to you. over and 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 over again, man. You know, all the time, just like Jesus did. He only preached the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. What's the good news about the kingdom or the gospel of the kingdom? That's your inheritance. That belongs to you. That I came to bring that back to you and restore you back to it. Listen, God don't have no problem, man, getting the kingdom of God in us. Because they ask, where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said, it's not with observation. Where is it? It's on the inside of you. So God ain't got no problem getting the kingdom of God on the inside of us. But what he have an issue with is getting you and I into the kingdom. The kingdom is already on the inside of you if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Savior and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then the kingdom of God is in you. But the question is, man, are you in the kingdom? Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. You know, whether you know it or not, if you saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, then the kingdom of heaven is in you. Where is it at? It don't come with observation. It ain't over here. It ain't over there. It ain't in some certain. It's on the inside of you, in your spirit. And now what God is trying to do, boy, is get you in it. Get you to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. Well, that's your inheritance, that it belongs to you. You lost it in Adam's disobedience, that utopia, that perfect world, our healing, our health, our provision, our purpose, our destiny, our potential. All that, man, been restored back to us. And here we are trying to get what we already have instead of just having what's already ours. Because once you come to the knowledge of that, and you would be like Paul said in Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because you would know that death and grave don't have no authority over you or nor our loved ones. But if we could take confidence and courage and be encouraged that even when we face death, man, even when we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, we won't fear no evil. Why? Because we know that it ain't no death to the children of the Most High God. We got everlasting life. Death is swallowed up by life. So you walk on in victory even over mankind's greatest enemy, death. Why? Because you'll know that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I, who were dead in trespasses and sin, as God raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You'll know that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, where all of us are trying to get to. You'll know that when our loved ones die, boy, let me tell you something, they're gone to the place where we all trying to get to. You know, the strange thing, everybody want to man go to heaven, but nobody don't want to die. When that's the portal or the doorway into it. This flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of hell. In order to get into the literal place, into the literal presence of the Lord, man, you got to lose these physical bodies. Why? Because it's cursed anyway. Listen, God didn't curse Adam when they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God cursed the earth. What the earth? The ground. The soil. Instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, he said, you're going to have to sweat from your body. And instead of bringing forth the fruit that I intended for you to bring forth, you're going to bring forth, man, thistles and briars. And in other words, boy, you're going to have it rough on the earth now. Why? Because, man, it's no longer, man, a colony of heaven. It's a wilderness experience. And the God of this wilderness experience that you're living in is the devil. But, boy, I'm talking about the solution, man, has came. And the solution has gone. And everything that we lost, boy, I can tell you, man, the body, it comes from the dust of the ground. What God cursed, he cursed the ground. So it's appointed unto us, man, to leave these physical bodies. I don't care, man, what the deal is, whether you leave here at birth or whether you leave here 120 years old or whether you leave here at 930 years old or like Methuselah, 969 years, man, you're going to leave these bodies. Why? Because it's cursed. Not you, but the spiritual body that we live in. Why? Because it comes from the earth. God formed out these bodies from the earth. So when our bodies, man, we put it back in the graveyard, man, it turned back to dirt, man. That ain't the good God of mine. Listen, man, that's not, man, the help me, Holy Ghost. That's not a determination of your life. That's a transition of your life. You're not terminated. You just transist. You just moved out of time into eternity. You just moved out of man, a physical body, into, boy, your spiritual realm, man, in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What you trying to tell us, Lord? I'm trying to tell you that you are a superman and a superwoman, and that death don't have no power over you. Oh, yes, we're going to sorrow and we're going to grieve when our loved ones leave and everything else. But, man, let me tell you something. When they leave and everything else, you got to recognize something. I ain't come to give you no pink tea gospel. I come to let you know, man, that there's a going on in God, man. So don't just, man, stay in your sorrow and grieve. Yes, you're going to have that. Yes, you're going to face that and everything else. But be strong, not in your strength and your ability, because you might not make it. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? By, man, growing in the knowledge of the truth, what? That you got everlasting life. Our family's got everlasting life. Our children got everlasting life. Our loved ones got everlasting life. So when they do leave these physical bodies, man, you could be a good cheer even in the midst of your sorrow. You can know that everything is all right. And, boy, when you know that everything is all right, then how you think you'll feel? Even in your sorrow, even in your grief, even in your life, even in your captivity, you will know, boy, that everything is all right. Well, because our lives, man, is hidden by him. He's our Father. That means he's the source of our lives, and he's the sustainer of our lives. What you mean? He's responsible for us. And if you get in on that and come to the knowledge of that and grow in that, then you won't have to be worried about trying to quit doing this and quit doing that. You start learning how to start doing this and start doing that. You start trying to live the crucified life, and you start living the resurrected life. What's the crucified life? I got to quit doing this. I got to quit doing that. I got to quit drinking. I got to quit smoking. I got to quit living any kind of way. Of course you got to do all that, but if you're trying to do all that, man, from the outside in, then you're missing at the mall. You don't do that from the outside in. You do that from the inside out. Hallelujah. How? By not trying to live the crucified life. Why? Because you already been crucified. Nevertheless, you live, but not you. It's God and Christ that lives on the inside of you. And the life that we now live as saved believers in the Lord, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us so that we can begin to live what? The resurrected life. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but it's Christ that's living on the inside of me. And the life that I now live, I don't live the crucified life or that old life, man. I live the resurrected life, resurrection life. And in resurrection life, man, listen, boy, you free from death, hell, and the grave. You free from, man, everything that seems to bind you up. Every chain is broken. Like we sing the song, break every chain, boy, you would know that, man. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to break no chain. The chain's already broken. You just got to learn how to walk in no liberty. The liberty in which Christ has set us free. And using not that liberty as an occasion to the natural man to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Be like the woman, man, who was caught in adultery, man. They brought him to Jesus, thought Jesus was going to condemn her and agree with him and stoning him. And Jesus told them, man, you without sin cast the first stone. And everybody was convicted because nobody was without sin. And therefore, they dropped all these stones, man. And then they all left. The woman was there. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? She said, no, man, Lord. He said, neither do I. And then he gave her the instruction. Listen, now don't go back, man, to prostituting again. Go and sin no more. I give you my grace, man, not so that you can just do anything and continue to sin and know that you're going to be forgiven. No, I give you my grace, man, so that you can come out of sin, so that you can use my grace to live right. Not as an occasion to the flesh. Not just to go on and keep sinning and know that you can confess your faults and go to God and God going to forgive you. Yes, he's going to forgive you, man, but you ain't going to never find that utopia. You're going to live on hell. You're going to live in hell here on earth, when all the time, man, God created you to live in heaven on earth, not hell. And when you're living in heaven on earth, man, let me tell you something, that's an eternal kingdom. Ain't no end to it. It's an everlasting kingdom. Glory to God. Even when you die, yet shall you live. You remember what they told boy, that old boy, man, I mean, at Lazarus' funeral? They say, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They say, listen, man, your brother gonna live. Yeah, I know in the resurrection, all your brother going to live now, today. And then, man, he called Lazarus forth, indicating that, man, even though we die, yes, shall we live. Hallelujah. And that one day, man, you know, these old earthen vessels that's cursed go back to the ground. One of these days, boy, in the coming soon, when God, the consummation of God, plan and purpose and destiny for your life, and when it's on earth like it is in heaven, the whole earth is filled with the glory of God and the atmosphere and the environment of heaven over the whole earth, not just a spot on the earth. Then, boy, I'm talking about you're going to get a new body. Hallelujah. An immortal body, one that ain't going to never get old, one that ain't going to never decay, one that ain't never going to die. So even though you might die physically, hey, like I said, it's all right to sorry about that, but you can have hope by knowing that, man, listen, we shall rise and we shall live again, and we shall live this time and that time in immortal bodies, body that ain't never going to die. So it's all right, man. And you know, like I say, to grieve when we lose our loved ones and in physical death and everything else. But we only have each other here on the earth for, man, up to 120 years. What did that compare, man, to having each other, man, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? For all eternity. Where there's no death, no sickness, no worry, no poverty, no racism. None of the mess that's going on in this world that we're living in here today. None of that's going on, man, in the utopia, in the final consummation of. But what are we to do, man, until then? Occupy, Jesus said, until I come. Occupy, what, boy? Don't wait for, man, it to come. Start living in it as though it was already here. Start living that way, man. When? Now. Start pressing on toward the prize of that high calling. Start going, man, from glory to glory to glory, until we reach the final destination. Don't wait till you reach the final destination and start living, man, the supernatural, the mighty men and the mighty life and the mighty women of God that he created all us to be. Don't wait till you get to heaven to start to have that. You can chart your course toward that destination right now, and you can start becoming that man that you already are. And when I say becoming that, I'm not talking about just trying to become that. I'm talking about becoming that. I'm not talking about trying to get all that you have. Start having that. See, that might be one of our problems. We're trying to get what we already have instead of having what's already ours. I'm going to say it again. We're trying to do religion and everything else. We're trying to get what we already have. But you're already a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. But you must become that. You must have that. You must receive that. You must grab a hold to that and seize it and place it in your possession. Your needs already met. You ain't trying to get God to do it. He's already done it. You ain't trying to get God to save us. He's already saved us over 2,000 years ago. Everything that we lost in Adam has already been restored back to us over 2,000 years ago. I told you we trying to get God to do what he's already done. Instead of man tapping into it and grabbing a hold to what he's already done, seizing it and placing it in our possession. That's what the word receive means, to grab a hold of, to seize it, and to place it in your possession, and then to execute in it. What? Boy, meditate in it day and night, boy. God exceeding great and precious promise. But you can observe how to act upon it, how to execute it, how to make it, man, practical policy, man. And, man, as you're doing that, then you're already becoming, man, what you've already became, who God decreed and declared and said about you. Let me tell you something. What God said about you, his counsel going to stand. I don't care what the devil did. I don't care what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. What God spoke over your life before they did anything, before they rebelled against the known word of God, God already spoke over your life. God already blessed you. God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over all the earth. And then the Bible said, God bless them. Past tense. They didn't say God gonna bless. He said, God bless them. So you already blessed. You lost that blessing in Adam's disobedience, but that blessing has been restored back to you in Jesus Christ's obedience. So For that which you lost in Adam, what your blessing has been restored back to you over 2,000 years ago. You already blessed. You just got to walk into it. You're already empowered by God. You're already indwelt by God. You're already infused by Almighty God. You already, man, all that God said you are. You already have all that God say you have. You already can do everything that God say you do. You already going to end up, man, in that utopia, heaven on earth. It's already done. So what you got to do, man, is just start walking in the reality of it. Line up on line, precept up on precept. Stop trying to get what you already have and just start having what's already out, day by day by day by day. How you do that, Arthur? By seeking that first, what you already have, by seeking the kingdom of God first and God's way of you being in right standings with the governing system of heaven. That's what righteousness is, being in right standings with the kingdom of heaven. And as a result of that, as you wake to that righteousness that you already are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin less. And let me say it in a simple way. The more you realize how righteous that you already are, the less you are sin. We're doing it backwards. We're trying to sin less so that we can become more righteous. No, you are as righteous as you are ever going to be. Why? Because God made you righteous. The Bible says in Corinthians, man, 2 Corinthians, he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, God made him to be sin on our behalf and took the righteousness of Jesus. How righteous is Jesus? He was tempted on all points, yet without sin. And God took his righteousness and placed it upon us, took our sins and placed it upon Jesus. And Jesus took them sins that God, our sin that God placed upon him and nailed it to the cross, man, so that the penalty for sin would be paid in full, so that the righteous demand of a just God would be paid in full. So what? So that you could receive your free gift of righteousness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, it says, as you receive the gift, then you shall reign in life. When you receive what gift? The gift of righteousness. When you understand that you are as righteous as you are ever going to be. Stop trying to get what you already have and start just being it. Instead of trying to get it, start being it. Start having it. Start come to the knowledge that you are already righteous. He made you righteous. When you realize that you're already righteous, then you'll quit trying to stop sinning, and you'll start trying to live, man, righteous. Listen, if 100 things that you're doing are not righteous, then the way you come out of that, man, is not trying to stop sinning so that you could become more righteous. No, listen, start, man, becoming more righteous than the less you're sinning. If 99% of the things that you're doing are wrong, then don't try to stop, man, doing the thing that's wrong. Start practicing doing the things that's right. So if 99% of the thing that you're doing is wrong, then practice, man, doing right. And guess what? That 99 going to turn to 98. That 98 going to turn to 97. And that 97 going to turn to 90. And that 90 going to turn to 80. And that 80 going to turn to 75. And that 75 going to turn to 65. When you get to the place, man, where, man, you start walking in the abundance of righteousness that you already are. How? By not trying to stop sinning, but by learning how to live right. Line up on line, precept up on precept. Practice living right. And the sin will automatically drop off. If you start practicing how to do good things, man, guess what's going to happen to the bad things? They're going to, man, disappear all by itself. Like I told you, man, if you start doing, man, 2% righteous, man, and then 3% righteous, then with that 97, that 100% that you were doing wrong, that's going to fall off automatically. But if you just practicing, man, trying to do right so that you can become more righteous, man, you're going to have a rough time. That's your righteousness. And the Bible says your righteousness is like filthy rags. But when you receive the righteousness of God that you already are, that he has made you, then you start sinning less and less and less. How are they? As you practice righteously, line up on line, precept up on precept. But that is, that's seeking first, man, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's his way of putting you in righteousness and right standing with him. By bringing you, when you awake, when you say awake to righteousness, that means you must be asleep too. Sleep means, man, you don't know it. You sleep to the fact that you are righteous as you ever going to be. But when you wake up to that information, to that knowledge, and you start living righteous lives. You start living resurrection lives instead of crucified lives, trying to crucify the flesh. You automatically, man, bring this flesh under subjection. You automatically, man, keep this flesh crucified, man. You won't be trying to keep, you won't be trying to crucify. What you'll be doing is keeping it crucified. Why? Because it's already crucified. It was crucified with Christ. Hey, Lord. What are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about, man, you know, living, man, a supernatural life that Jesus Christ come, man, to give us. Instead of living and dying like mere men and mere women, man, come to the knowledge, man, that you are mighty men and mighty women and new God on the earth. Not independent of the big God, our Father God, but you are little children of God. You're little G God. Your Father is the capital G God. And you can't be no little G God, man, if you come from under man, you know the authority and power of the big G God. That's what the devil did. He declared independence from the big G God. He wanted to be a God himself. And the Bible says he fell from heaven like light. Why? Because he tried to take the place of the big G God. Don't you ever try to do that. You make sure that every day that you accomplish in your life, boy, that pertains to life and godliness, that who you give the credit to. What the Bible say? Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You make sure, boy, that you let God know, man, that, hey, listen, you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. It is you that has worked in the earth today. Hallelujah. It is you who have done good things. It is you who have saved us. It is you who have redeemed our life from destruction. It is you who have restored us back to our original place in you. It is you, O Lord. Hallelujah. It's you. It's you, Jesus. Lord, you continue to give the credit to him and the glory and the honor to him, then the more of his glory he'll manifest in and through our life. The more you'll grow up, man, and live that perfect life that Jesus Christ came for us to live. Now listen, you ain't gonna conquer that overnight. That become a way of life. That become a policy that you practice, man, day after day after day after day. While you're doing that, you're becoming what you already are, supermen, superwomen in the earth, with power over all the powers of our enemy, even our greatest enemy, death. So you better say like Paul say, oh, death, where you're staying at? And grave, where is your victory? Why? Because it don't have none. Hallelujah. Death is like a bumblebee, man. You know, a big old bumblebee, man, that got a sting in it. And let me tell you something. And you see a bumblebee, man, you're going to avoid that, man. You ain't going to mess with it. You ain't going to go around. You ain't going to start swimming at it, man. If you do, you're going to try to do it from a far, from a distance. But you ain't going to go up to it and try to play with no bumblebee or no waltzes. Why? Because they got a stinger in them. And the stinger, if they sting you, they're going to hurt. But if you remove the stinger from the bumblebee, and if you remove the stinger from a waltz, then you won't run from them. You stick your hand right out there to him. It'd be like the same thing like a butterfly. Meanwhile, man, you try to catch a butterfly or a dragonfly because they ain't got no stinger in them. You ain't going to go try to catch no scorpion or no snake or no bumblebee or no wasp and play with them. Why? Because they got a stinger. But, boy, if you remove that stinger from them, then you won't be afraid of them no more. But that's what death was like, boy. It was first a bumblebee without a sting. But Adam disobedience gave it a stinger. And Jesus Christ, obedience, man, took the stinger, man, from it. So it's just a bumblebee flying around now without any stinger. It can't hurt you at all. That's how death is now. It can't hurt you at all. It can't stop you from existing. It don't terminate your life. You got everlasting life. You a winner. You a mighty man. You a mighty woman of the Most High God. You are saved by God's grace. You are healed, man, by his stripes, man. You are set free, man, by the liberty well which Christ has set us free in. And, man, I'm talking about every need that you have is already provided for you. And as you come to the knowledge of that, man, how you come to the knowledge of that? By hearing and hearing and hearing. Hearing what, boy? The gospel of the kingdom. Not just the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. Let me say this in closing. You can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, and never hear nothing about the kingdom of God. In fact, man, the majority of believers out there don't know nothing about the kingdom of God. They don't know nothing about the gospel of the kingdom. They know about the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because that's all they've been preached. You've been preached the good news about Jesus. But, man, what you haven't been preached is the good news that Jesus preached. So if you just preach the good news about Jesus and all that he did, it's like looking to my son-in-law and my daughter, we and all of us were talking last night. They say, man, you know, if you just preach the gospel of Jesus, it's like looking through a telescope. But it's like looking through the telescope, man. You know how a telescope is made. It got the big end at the bottom, and then as it go up, man, it got the small end that you look through. But if you turn that telescope around and start looking through the big end, you still can see some things out there, just like binoculars. You still can see some things out there, but it looks far away. But if you turn it and look at it the right way, man, through the small part, man, looking through to the end of that big part, then that which is far away seems to be near then. But that's what happens, man, when you just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, man, when we all get to heaven, that's far away. You know, once we die, you know, whether we live here 45, 50, 60 years, no longer, man, it's still far away, man. Hallelujah. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be all right when we all get to heaven. But if you flip that thing around, man, and start looking at this word of God through the gospel of the kingdom, it's like looking through that telescope or the binoculars, man, the right way. You'll see that which seems to be far away, you'll see it up near. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, is good news. But the gospel that he preached is a greater news. What's the good news? That you're going to go to heaven. What's the greater news? That heaven then came to you. It's within your reach. It's at hand. It ain't even sweet by and by. It ain't far, far away. Hallelujah. Now, you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and you and the people don't know nothing about the kingdom of God that's at hand. But if you preach the gospel of the kingdom, then the gospel of Jesus Christ is automatically contained in it. I'm going to say that again. I hope that you understand it as I close. So you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and never mention nothing about the kingdom. That's why everybody know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know about the kingdom. But if you preach the kingdom of God, the message that Jesus Christ preached, then the good news about Jesus is automatically contained in it. You're going to know, man, the truth then. You're going to know, boy, who you are, and you're going to know who Jesus is, too. But if you just know who Jesus is and don't know who you are, then, man, listen, you're forfeiting a lot of things. You're missing out. You're misusing the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is a means to an end, too. What? To bring you to the knowledge of me and the gospel that he preached. Paul say, I preach the kingdom of heaven and I teach the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. In religion, man, we just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the people don't know nothing about the kingdom. But the proper way God is doing, he's going to preach the kingdom first, and then he told you about me and Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the door, the way to get into the kingdom of God. No man come to the Father except man through the Son. No man comes to the kingdom except through Jesus Christ. But you got to know, you got to have a desire to go through something. And when you have a desire to go to the kingdom, then you're going to find the door. When you find out about the kingdom, I guarantee you're going to find the door. If somebody told you to advertise on the store board that they got millions of dollars for you in the bank, man, in such and such a place, I guarantee you, man, you're going to find the door. Hallelujah. Listen, my time is up, man. God love you. I love you, too. And, man, this is all my family's desire for all our lives, that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we can begin to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, living victorious, kingdom, supermen, superwomen lives. That's God's will for our lives. And may it be in our lives here on earth, God's will on earth, just like it is in heaven. God bless you. We love you. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Listen, if we could be of any help, contact us. Area code 713-870-3776. That's Kingdom Life Fellowship, World Outreach and Ministry, Funky, Louisiana. 713-870-3776. If you need that number, didn't have anything to write with, call the radio station. You can get that number and ask them about Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry, the ministry that come on every Saturday from 12 to 1, and they'll be more than happy to give you our information. We love you. God bless you. Talk to you again next week. Bye.
This is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is